Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
China specifically, if you're looking at the Chinese market, obviously there's huge potential, but don't just look at like the potential based on the population. You need to do some research into actually their consumption behaviors to see whether your product or service can solve a problem or a pain point for them. Because their consumption patterns and their behaviours and their thought processes are quite different as a culture to Western society. So I'd say I'd be doing quite a bit of research into that and actually just spending some time there. So the best thing that we did, I mean, the most challenging thing that we did, honestly, was moving to a foreign country that we didn't speak the language and kind of didn't understand their culture. But it was the best thing that we did. Because we learnt about their culture really quickly and we identified a huge gap in the market over there which allowed us to grow our business. But we only did that by spending time there and actually speaking to locals, making local networks, getting involved in the startup ecosystem over there. It's really, really important to actually be immersed in China, wherever you want to base yourself, and then make contacts from there to be able to start to validate whether your concept is something that would work in that market.
How you dare? Today's episode is with the lovely Teresa, who was plain sick today. In this episode, you can hear that she was dealing with a cold and she was a real trooper for pushing through with the episode. We dive into a lot of crypto stuff. So crypto and blockchain stuff, something I admittedly know nothing about, but she talks about how she's using that to, you know, fuel a travel ecosystem essentially. And it was an interesting mix for me to learn about how she combined crypto technology with travel, and also she talked about how she does business with China and Asia as a whole. So I thought it was pretty educational, you know, for those who are thinking about different ways to power their businesses. This might be beneficial for you. And also her drive and her story with coming up with an idea and then making it something that she ultimately made her career is also inspirational. Also, for those that have been asking, my masterclass on public speaking is on December 15th. I will put the link in the show notes. There is a in-person version for those in New York, and there's also a virtual version as well. So no one is going to be able to miss out. Make sure you check out the episode. Make sure you check out the masterclass. Look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's episode is with Teresa Truder. Now, she is the co-founder of Chosen, and she is also one of these amazing superwomen who's Australian but has built a company in China, and she's basically powering this cryptocurrency and blockchain movement that is helping travelers find the best places to go ahead and you know, live based on their styles and preferences. So I'm always interested in talking to people like her, because not only is she someone who's identified as a superwoman in data, but she's also someone who is a culturally forward-thinking individual, and someone that's really helping to make our world more, you know, smaller in a good way. We have this globalization and digitalization happening in the world. We have all these emphasis on differences and how it makes us different, but we don't have a lot of platforms that I feel like that are effective in connecting us together. So I'm really excited to have you on the show, Teresa.
Hey, thanks so much. What an intro.
Well, the intro is your life, my friend. It is something you've done. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company? What exactly do you feel is what sparked you on this journey? You know, tell me a little bit about young Teresa, and then fast forward to where you are today.
Yeah, so I guess young Teresa had the pain point that we're solving today. As you can tell, I've got a bit of a croaky voice. So I'm sorry about that. I'm just coming off the back of an illness. But so young Teresa started in advertising maybe 10, 12 years ago in the tech industry. And I was a business traveler, road warrior, and flying all the time for work. And work would often sort out my hotels and flights. But when I'd get to these new destinations, I'd A, be time poor, B, have a disposable income, and C, need services on the ground, essentially, that my work didn't organise for me. So I had this gap where, you know, I could spend time trawling different sites, like big websites, and trawling reviews to try and find stuff to do in new cities. But I thought there needs to be a simpler way for me to be able to get efficient, convenient, like services and experiences based on what I actually like when I travel. And so, look, we used to, both Zia and I, who founded the business, used to build products for a living for other brands. And so we were like, you know, we've got this concept, let's try and validate it with some people. And so we did that with quite a small group to start with in Melbourne and Sydney. And we wanted to just test that other people actually had a similar pain point to us. And so we brought it out to like millennial business travelers. And we found that there was a huge uptake. People had the same problem where they're crippled by indecision on the internet. There's so much noise. They want to be able to find things to do when they get to destinations based on what they like. And so once we validated that, we actually at the same time created an opportunity for us to go over to China to be part of China Accelerator, because we were always looking at the Asian market. And we stayed in touch with the program director at China Accelerator. And when the time was right and we'd built enough traction, we got the opportunity to go over there. And so we were asked to go there for 3 months, and we packed 3 suitcases and said, hey, we'll give it a shot. And since then we actually haven't looked back, and we've pivoted the product to kind of what it is now, or I guess the product's grown to what it is now, which is essentially we're making travel experiences and loyalty much easier for the millennial traveler to be able to find things to do based on what they like. Mm. It's all powered by machine learning, artificial intelligence, and we've actually moved our providers onto the blockchain, which we can talk about a little bit later. And it's driven by the loyalty program that we've invented is driven by the cryptocurrency that we've created as well.
Oh, that's fascinating to me. And yeah, we're definitely going to talk about the crypto pretty soon. But I want to harp in on the fact that your co-founder, Zaya, it's funny, I just found that, you know, Zaya was a really, really cool person. And for some reason, I thought that it was you in the firm. But Zaya and you basically were trying to solve this pain point. There's a pain point where you wanted to create easily discoverable, unique experiences when people travel. And you spend a lot of time going through different sites, looking for local experiences and services in new cities. And there wasn't really a platform out there that was doing that. And the reason why I want to harp on this is because a lot of the listeners are entrepreneurs, and sometimes they think that their personal problems, their personal pain points isn't something that's shared with the wider world. So they're like, well, I'm not going to do it because what's the big deal? It's just me that has this problem. Can you talk about the importance of that mindset of understanding that if there's something you're struggling with, that if you have something that you're struggling with, there's a bigger chance that there's a sizable amount of people out there in the world that's struggling with, and then the next step into making that an actual business?
Yeah, most definitely. I think often, you know, entrepreneurs are all really creative people, right? So we can often come up with a bunch of different concepts, and you're right, people are sometimes held back by that kind of fear of, you know, is it actually something that other people are going through? And sometimes entrepreneurs don't really want to talk about their ideas too, because, you know, there's a fear of rejection or a fear of maybe not knowing if it's a real valid concept. And so I'd say to that point that the best thing that you can do is, if you feel that there is a pain point, you need to start to reach out to other people to see if they have a similar pain point, or even just start to talk about your concept, because sharing it is where the idea starts to evolve. You know, like if I look back, honestly, 2 years ago when we started and we were validating it with just business travelers, we're now not just for business travelers. by speaking to people, by expanding our business, by going to China, we realized there was this whole gap in the market for Chinese outbound travelers. Now, if you would have asked me 2 years ago if I'd be living in China with a platform for Chinese outbound travelers, I probably would have laughed at you. But, you know, it's actually been the journey that I've gone on to validate the product and validate the concept that's brought us to where we are now. So I think it's really, really important that once you have a pain point that you feel is something that's valid, to talk to people about that, find others, find out who your market are, who you're actually targeting, and then validate it, and validate it in a simple way before going and spending, you know, a ton of cash to actually validate your concept.
Validate it. Start off with a pain point, test it out, share the idea, and then validate it. You know, because there are moments when you would, you know, you might need to switch, you might need to adjust, you might need to learn, you know, a new skill. And it's always interesting that the best way to actually experience something in business is by doing. And so don't be crippled by an idea you have because you think it's too narrow, too stupid. Think about how you could grow from just testing it out and working it out with people.
Totally. And, you know, like the really important thing to that as well is once you actually start speaking to people, you need to listen to their feedback. And sometimes you also have to filter their feedback because it can get frustrating. You know, you're close to an idea, especially at its very raw stages, and you feel really passionate about it. But, you know, talking to people about it and then listening to their feedback or some of their pain points that may vary or come from your initial idea is really, really important because that gives you the nuggets that are going to actually like create your strategy and your actual business moving forward.
Perfect.
Startup.
Yeah, and I love it. All right. So, Teresa, this is something I've been looking forward to since I found out we were getting interviewed. So, Chosen is an ecosystem for travelers to discover, book, and access the best personalized local experiences and services, right? Now, it's powered by proprietary AI and data science driven by cryptocurrency and blockchain. Can you explain? Because I know there are a lot of people that don't know what that is. So,
absolutely. So I'll break it down. So the AI and the data science makes our product a lot smarter, right, for our customers. So, for example, you can go onto websites currently, and like I said before, you're trawling reviews, right? And these reviews are generally subjective. It's like, I like soy lattes, you like full cream milk, and you want to go to a really noisy cafe, but I want to go to a really quiet cafe where I can zone out and drink my soy latte. So we want two different things. The AI and data science actually helps us match our customers individually based on their personal preferences. And so what that is like an algorithm, piece of technology that we continue to build, grow on, a set of rules that basically allows us to get to know our users and what they like and don't like, and then we can easily match them to the right provider based on that. And so that's the AI and data science. And the way that it works is like, the more we start to collect data on the user with their permission, so we let you know at all points what data we're collecting and why and how it's actually going to benefit you. And you can choose to share that with us or not. If you share some of the data and some of your likes with us, then it will allow us to create a more customized experience for you and recommend things that you're actually going to like when you travel. The more that you use Chosen, we then have machine learning, right, which starts to learn about your patterns. It sees that you are a regular traveler, for example, to, say, Bangkok. Just say you travel from Shanghai to Bangkok and you're going there every second week. We learn about that pattern, then we can actually start to predict based on your patterns and recommend travel experiences before you even get there. So that's sort of the intelligence and data science side of things. And where we really saw an opportunity, particularly with the blockchain technology, obviously blockchain is an emerging technology, right? It's been around for 10 years or so now, and it's really just starting to kind of take off. We're starting to see a lot of traditional industries adopt blockchain. For us, it was a decision. We're a bunch of nerds, geeks that like to stay ahead, and we really see blockchain as a super beneficial way of transacting data, and it will be the future of how data is transacted And so we wanted to implement it into our business, and we saw a real purpose of being able to store or put all of our providers onto the blockchain. So all their data is stored on the blockchain. And then what that means is it allows us to authenticate that transactions are actually happening. So with that, we're removing the element of distrust on the internet, right? Because I can actually prove by looking on the blockchain that you went to that particular cafe in Bangkok and you drank that soy latte and that you enjoyed it because it's authenticated by the blockchain. So that's one element. And the other one is around efficiency of payment. We have a lot of providers across Asia. We're in 22 cities across Asia at the moment. A lot of them are emerging countries. Some of them operate in cash, but they are adopting cryptocurrency rapidly. And so we want to be able to provide, we want to be able to efficiently pay our providers. And we saw the blockchain as a real opportunity to allow us to do that. So that's AI, data science, and the blockchain part. Is that making sense so far?
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think the thing with, you know, because a lot of people have different interests and opinions about AI. You know, you have some people that are pro and some people that are against. You know, there's a scary element to some people, and then there's like, no, this is the future element type of thing. And it's interesting hearing you talk about it because, you know, you're really talking about it actually being, making things smarter. It's actually making you understand your customer a lot better. And it's quicker to adapt. And then on the blockchain in the crypto part, it's the interesting thing is, of course, we see the TV shows depictions of what crypto and all these things are. I just watched the movie Superfly, and it was a remake of I think it was a 70s film. But yeah, one of the ways that they wire the money was through crypto. I was like, wow, this is actually making it into pop culture that type of way. And yeah, but with crypto and blockchain, it seems like maybe I don't know if it's true or not. It's like a more efficient infrastructure to do business. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So I mean, a good point there to touch on two things: blockchain and crypto are different. Blockchain's a technology that underpins, and the blockchain technology is basically, to simplify it, think of it as like a record book, where every single transaction is recorded and verified by people. And those transactions can't be erased. So it's a super, super powerful technology, right? Every single transaction that is done is tracked on the blockchain. It's creating efficiency and it's creating authenticity, and it's also giving power back to the people, right? Because there's not one governing body that is in charge of the transactions on the blockchain. It's people, it's miners, it's you and I. It's people that are validating that a transaction has happened. So that's one aspect. And then from blockchain, there are obviously, you know, it started with Bitcoin as the first digital currency, but now there are so many altcoins, there are so many cryptocurrencies that are actually being created as valuable assets for different niche markets. So I'll just quickly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Touch on sort of where our cryptocurrency comes into it, but for us, we're obviously a travel brand, and we saw the real benefit in being able to create an asset for travelers. So they can actually use our cryptocurrency, A, to pay for their experiences and services wherever they are in the world using CZN. And beyond that, we wanted to actually create some incentives behind the CZN and really reinvent loyalty for millennials. So what that means is our customers are going to be able to actually exchange CZN, our cryptocurrency, amongst different brands, big brands that are also trying to tap into the millennial consumer. And a quick example of that would be, so for example, you've got, I won't mention a brand, but you've got a particular brand's frequent flyer points. I have a particular brand's hotel points, but I don't have enough frequent flyer points. And if I'm a CZN holder, you and I can trade those points very easily. So it's opening up access to a whole bunch of different brands and allowing a whole ecosystem for people to be able to trade this CZN asset.
Love it. No, that makes sense. I understand that. And it's just interesting because I imagine when I think about crypto, I imagine the time when people probably introduced gold and silver as some form of currency. And people were like, what is gold? What is silver? And then it's like, if you can't have silver, and then the paper money, what is paper? Why are you using that? And so I'm going to think it's the same sort of thing with crypto. What is that? And so it's always interesting how on one end, there's a resistance to change, but on the other end, you're like, well, this is the future. Just get with it. So,
absolutely.
I always love that education. Let's talk about the China element. I'm very interested. So doing business, sure. Full disclosure, I run a consultant firm that focuses on cross-cultural communications and helping people do business in different cultures and different environments, but also creating inclusive leadership. And so I come across interest in entrepreneurs and interest in businesses all the time because, you know, we're trying to work in cultural competency. But what would you say to people that are thinking about launching a company in China? What are the things to consider? What are the things to think about?
That is a huge question. All right, top line, I would say, you know, sometimes there's a lot of myths or misconceptions around not just China, but actually like launching a global business or a business in a foreign country. I would say like any business that you're going to launch in any market, you really need to find the purpose and make sure that there is a need for your product, particularly or service in that area. China specifically, if you're looking at the Chinese market, obviously there's huge potential, but don't just look at like the potential based on the population. You need to do some research into actually their consumption behaviors to see whether your product or service can solve a problem or a pain point for them, because their consumption patterns and their behaviors and their thought processes are quite different as a culture to Western society. So I'd say I'd be doing quite a bit of research into that and actually just spending some time there. So the best thing that we did, I mean, the most challenging thing that we did, honestly, was moving to a foreign country that we didn't speak the language and kind of didn't understand their culture. But it was the best thing that we did because we learned about their culture really quickly and we identified a huge gap in the market over there, which allowed us to grow our business. But we only did that by spending time there and actually speaking to locals, making local networks, getting involved in the startup ecosystem over there. It's really, really important to actually be immersed in China, wherever you want to base yourself, and then make contacts from there to be able to start to validate whether your concept is something that would work in that market.
I love it. No, this is good. I remember when I was doing research on you, you said something that really, really, I really thought was important. You broke it down into five things to consider. You said people. Resilience, culture, know your customer, be adaptable. And under people, you said, you know, you've got to build a great, strong network around you. And I've known a lot of people who've done business in China, and there's this concept of you've really building trust. That mm-hmm. network is a lot, you know, people will do business with people that they know, and it's really taken seriously there. Like, you could have all the expertise, but if there's that trust isn't there, no. And then the resilience, the tough part, because much like when you move to any country or any of that, you know, that resilience to continue to push through and get back up is probably almost respected even more than it isn't. Because sometimes there'll be tests that could be there. And you're like, if you sort of take the hit and you don't get back up, it's interesting. And then just because media sometimes portrays, when you, your third point, culture, just because sometimes media portrays maybe Asian culture as some monolithic type thing, there's it's very important to understand that China is a country to well over a billion people. And when you have well over a billion people, even though media has made it look like everyone is the same, there are very, very different practices that people have to be mindful of and respectful of. And so what may work here, it's not going to work for another part of China. You know, it could be Shanghai, Beijing, or a different part. It could just be something different. And then obviously know your customer, figure out if there's a market fit. You know, that's where the testing part comes there. And then the adaptability. I know one of my friends, she's touring China and the whole of Asia right now. But one of the things she said to me was that, man, you really can do everything here on WeChat. Like you can, you can buy, you can order, you can message, and you know, so it's a whole different world. So understand that and don't think that you can bring in any just your sensibilities without thinking about that. So I really love you taking the time for doing.
I think the, just to touch on the one point that you said there about the trust, it is a huge, huge thing culturally. And that's what comes back to me saying spending time there is super important, because spending time there, you get FaceTime with people and you create really, really great relationships. But those relationships take a lot of time, more time than what it does in Western culture. You know, if I might say to you, let's go to the pub and grab a beer or let's have a coffee, and you know, we hit it off straight away. But in China, these relationships actually take 2 or 3 or sometimes 6 to 10 meetings before you actually build that trust with someone. So I think that's a really, really important part that you touched on before. Definitely.
Nice. No, thank you for that. Also, congratulations on an order. You were awarded GBC's first prize for female entrepreneurship across China. That was in 2016. But
yeah, it was pretty sweet.
No, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And obviously, I like to do research before I interview anyone, but just going through a lot of your interviews and listening to a lot of your stories, there are things that I love about what you represent. You know, it's, you know, you've said things like you don't believe in failure. They're just challenges along the way to drive us to be a better outcome. And you're a general doer and problem solver, and you actually love challenges. So you love when things are difficult, and because you feel like you realize there's a learning opportunity ahead of that. And I don't know. I guess it's always interesting when I come across people like yourself who are attracted to the work that they do, but you can always tell that they actually love it. It's not I'm being an entrepreneur because it's the sexy thing to do. I'm doing an entrepreneur because I'm solving a problem, and I know I'm contributing to the larger ecosystem world. So can you tell me where that motivation comes from?
Yeah, sure. I think well done on your research, because you have nailed it. I am a doer and I love a challenge. I love to solve problems. I think it comes, I think I was born with it. I've always strived for more in my life. I guess, you know, part of it's probably my upbringing. I come from an Italian family who's always had like really great morals and, you know, working hard for everything that you create. So I think part of it's been my upbringing, but also just kind of not accepting the norm in life and wanting to challenge things and knowing that, you know, if we all kind of can contribute to making a difference, then we can create solutions to problems in this world. And I think it just comes from a real fire that I have within me that, you know, I can make a difference. I can make an impact on my customers' lives. I can make traveling a lot more convenient with the product that I'm creating, and it's solving real life issues. And that for me gets me out of bed every day. It just excites me that I can do that. I'm empowered to do that. And so, yeah, real kind of fire that I think I've just had my whole life. And it's been very much like, you know, you can create your own destiny, as corny as that sounds, but you actually can. If you want to solve something, go out there and do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you describe yourself as an essentialist. So, you know, if someone has a problem, they can hit you and you're confident you'll fix it. But you also, I remember reading this quote from tell me if you remember who said this. Obviously you do, but I'll see if you actually do. It's the woman who follows the crowd will usually go no further than the crowd. The woman who walks alone is likely to find herself in places no one has ever been before.
I believe it was Albert Einstein.
That is so true. Wow, Teresa. Wow.
That's but where you got that from.
No, I know. It's obviously on your side, but I love that so much because it's really about what you're saying. My mission statement, I'm going to ask you that question at the end of the interview, is use your difference to make a difference, right? That's the foundation for my company and for what I do. I believe wholeheartedly in the power of our individuality and the power for each of us to attach that to our problem to solve that and make an impact. I also believe in celebrating differences, and that's what, you know, it's sort of that two-headed thing where it's culture competency and it's a personal statement to make an impact. And so, you know, just hearing you talk about how you sort of, you know, fuse your personal and professional life and just make it very mission-based is something that I admire. I love it. So, really, no problem. Really love hearing about that. Okay, so we've done a bit. We've done a lot of, talking about why you do what you do and what it is that really got you here. Can you talk about the future of Chosen, and then we'll close up with some of your favorite things to do in the world?
Yeah, sure. So I guess for Chosen, the future for us now is that we've got we're launching our CZN, our cryptocurrency, in mid-July, and so it will be available for people to publicly actually purchase. And then what we're really, really focused on is continuing to grow out the blockchain component of the business, grow out the technology. We've got like a huge roadmap for our product and a huge vision that we want to execute on. So we're going to be making some pretty cool hires. We're going to look at going to Europe at the end of the year. And really we want to, within the next couple of years, actually be one of the most dominant companies in the travel space and actually really revolutionize the way that millennials travel. It's a huge aspiration for us, but we know that we can do it, and we've already had really, really great feedback from customers that we do have and people that we talk to. So we're just going to keep working really hard and hustling and hopefully continue to grow out the product to get it to where we want it to be.
Awesome, awesome. And people right now can access the site. So who are the type of people that you want to work with, you know, go on Chosen and really start engaging it with your service?
Yeah, so we're across Asia. So it's essentially anyone that's traveling to Asia. And once we're available in Europe, obviously we'll be able to be accessed there. But anyone that's traveling to Asia should definitely go onto chosen.com and check it out and look at the services and the types of experiences that you can get. There's a bunch of stuff that we suggest that's kind of a little bit more off the beaten path. So it's definitely worth it for anyone really that's traveling across Asia.
Okay, okay. And if you ever do come across Teresa, make sure that you get her some avocado and chocolate. And she does she likes them together. She apparently likes them together. I thought I was weird for my food choices because I mix everything, but I haven't quite done the avocado and chocolate. I always say I'm ready chocolate, so I don't need chocolate. I'll try the avocado and chocolate mix together and see and report back to you. But
well, let me know how you go with that. Not for everyone, I tell you.
But as we're getting ready to wrap up here, some of your favorite things, graphic novels. What's your favorite graphic novel?
Oh, I would have to say my favorite graphic novel is a graphic novel called Mother Come Home. It is a really cool graphic novel. It's quite old. It's from Paul Horschmer, who's, I think that's his name, who has written a few. But yeah, it really got me into actually reading graphic novels. A quick little nugget for you. I never really liked reading, right? Although I was a literature major in university. And then as an adult, I started to look at graphic novels as a way to kind of, you know, still creatively stimulate myself. And it's a really great way of being able to read things and still be inspired by books without reading huge, heavy novels.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome. I love that. I love that. My family, I read a lot of comics. My brother reads a lot of manga, and you know, graphic novels is right there. I know I don't know, we all read different things, but I also read I've started to get into graphic novels as well, and it's interesting that I wasn't quite sure what we're trying to start off with, so I'm going to start off with that, with your suggestion, and then we'll see. Okay, we're getting ready to wrap up here. So when I say Use your difference to make a difference. I already explained that earlier, but how do you, Teresa, use your difference to make a difference?
People. I think I have a way with people and building relationships, and I'm pretty human. So even though that's not different, I think that it's a bit of a superpower, right, to be able to resonate with people, to be empathetic to people, even from a business perspective. So I'd say I use that to really make a difference, to understand people, to understand their needs, wants, my customers, suppliers, my team, and really actually get to the core of, you know, why people are behaving in the way that they do, and then relating to that. So I'd say people is my power.
Okay. Wow. People is her power. People are our power, rather. And my English teacher would have hated me. People are our power. And if you want to check out more about what Teresa's up to, head over to chosen.com or teresatruder.com. And make sure I put that in the show notes. Really, really fascinating, the stuff that you're doing. Love how you really dove into China and then Asia by extension. And it's cool to hear your story. I think it's very easy to see the passion that you have for what you're doing. Thank you for playing sick. I know it's it's tough. It's tough with
having me.
I mean, yeah, it's tough with the time zones and the voice. So I can't tell you how appreciative I am for that. So I appreciate that.
Thanks. I am too. Awesome to chat to you.
Likewise. Likewise. Well, ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.